Welcome back to the American Academy of Psychiatry and the Law, Landmark Forensic Cases podcast. Today, we'll be discussing Jackson v. Indiana, which was decided in the United States Supreme Court in 1972. The question before the court today was, can a defendant be committed to the hospital indefinitely if he is found incompetent to stand trial but not restorable? The facts. The defendant, Theon Jackson, was a 27-year-old man who was, quote, mentally defective, deaf-mute, with a mental level of a preschool child. He did not have the ability to read or write and communicated through limited sign language. He was charged with the robberies of two separate women with a total property value of $9. The defendant pled not guilty and a competency evaluation was ordered. Two psychiatrists evaluated the defendant and determined that he was incompetent to stand trial. Of note, both psychiatrists commented that the defendant had a poor prognosis and would be unlikely to develop the necessary communication skills. The deaf school interpreter also testified that Indiana did not have facilities that could help the defendant learn minimal communication skills. As such, he was committed to the Indiana Department of Mental Health until the department could certify that the defendant was sane. Mr. Jackson's counsel filed a motion for a new trial, contending that there was no evidence that he was, quote, insane, or that he would ever achieve a status that the court regarded as, quote, sane, regarding competency. He argued that the state should have been required to invoke 1907, a commitment for the feeble-minded, which had less stringent criteria for release, rather than 1706, which is commitment for incompetent to stand trial individuals with release only when sane, because they were in effect seeking to commit the defendant to a mental institution indefinitely. As such, they argued that his commitment amounted to a life sentence without ever having been convicted of a crime, thereby violating his 14th Amendment right to due process and equal protection, as well as violating his 8th Amendment right against cruel and unusual punishment. Elaborating on equal protection, 1706 has different standards for commitment and release than 1907, and he argued that a commitment under 1907 could have resulted in him being assigned to a special institution with appropriate care, and he would have been entitled to certain privileges that he did not have in commitment under 1706. The trial court rejected this motion. On appeal, the Indiana Supreme Court affirmed the lower court. The rehearing was denied, and then the Supreme Court granted cert. The Supreme Court reversed and remanded. The opinion by Judge Blackmun stated the follows, quote, by subjecting a defendant to a more lenient commitment standard and to a more stringent standard of release than those generally applicable to all others not charged with offenses, and by thus condemning a defendant, in effect, to permanent institutionalization without the showing required for commitment or the opportunity for release afforded by 1209 or 1907, Indiana deprives a defendant of equal protection of the laws under the 14th Amendment. Because the defendant was in custody, he was deprived of rights under 1706 that he would have been entitled to under 1907. The court cited Backstrom, in which, quote, state cannot withhold from a few the procedural protections or the substantive requirements for commitment that are available to all others. Between 1706 and 1907, the commitment is similar, but the requirements for commitment and release are substantially different. The state had to show that the defendant was incompetent to stand trial for 1706, and the Supreme Court stated that Indiana might not have been able to commit the defendant under 1907 or 1209. In other words, the defendant likely did not meet criteria for civil commitment, and had he been civilly committed, he likely would have been released as the requirement for release was lower. And that requirement was that release when his condition justified it, or when he was cured of illness, or when the superintendent decided to release him. The Supreme Court talked about how the defendant would likely not require custodial care as he had been employed at times, and there was no evidence that his care at home was inadequate. The main takeaway was that he would not have met criteria for commitment civilly and was remanded indefinitely under unequal statute due to charges. They again cited Backstrom as the rationale, stating, quote, The harm to the individual is just as great if the state, without reasonable justification, can apply standards making his commitment a permanent one, where standards generally applicable to all others afford him a substantial opportunity for early release. Backstrom v. Herald, 1966, in which Backstrom was denied equal protection. Quote, Backstrom was denied equal protection by commitment to an institution maintained by the State Corrections Department for dangerously mentally ill persons without a judicial determination of his dangerous propensities afforded to all others committed. The state tried to argue that the record failed to establish that the defendant would not improve, but the Supreme Court refuted this. The Supreme Court also noted that the Indiana statute does not make the likelihood of the defendant's improvement a relevant factor. They also discussed Greenwood v. United States. In Greenwood, an incompetent defendant may be committed until found competent to stand trial or until pending charges are disposed. However, they also applied another statute that was superficially only applicable to convicted criminals, in which commitment can occur, one, if insane or mentally incompetent, two, dangerous, and three, other suitable arrangements for care are not available. However, if committed under the statute, they would be available for release once they no longer met any of the three criteria. Previously, Greenwood would have been held indefinitely as he would likely never had become competent to stand trial. But since applying this other statute, he was entitled to release once he was no longer dangerous, even if he was not competent to stand trial. The courts have subsequently upheld this application of statute repeatedly. They also cite that civil commitment individuals are released sooner than incompetent commitment individuals. This presents with the, quote, rule of reasonableness, that without dangerousness, one committed under incompetency can only be held for a reasonable period of time to determine if there is a substantial chance of regaining competency. The Supreme Court also talked about how the state did not use any of the formal commitment processes it had available that could have been applicable. The Supreme Court stated, quote, due process requires that the nature and duration of commitment bear some reasonable relation to the purpose for which the individual is committed. In summary, Jackson v. Indiana, which was decided in the United States Supreme Court in 1972, held that a defendant cannot be committed to the hospital indefinitely if he is found incompetent to stand trial but not restorable. Rather, due process requires that the nature and duration of commitment bear some reasonable relation to the purpose for which the individual is committed.